Funds for Bookworm are provided in part by Lannan Foundation. Books.
Where would we be without books? Where would we be without Gutenberg? It's a rhetorical question, sir. But where would we be without books?
From KCRW and KCRW.com, I'm Michael Silverblatt. This is Bookworm. At a certain point, the center of L.A. poetry was an art center called Beyond Baroque. It was founded by George Drury Smith. Most L.A. writers and poets passed through there at one time or another. Members of the band X, Tom Waits. But at a certain point, a new generation arrived. Its captain was the writer and poet Dennis Cooper, but present as well were Bob Flanagan, Amy Gersler, David Trinidad. Sherry Rose was in many ways its recorder. She took photographs, many of which can be still seen at her archive at USC. It was a real poetry scene, and members from this poetry scene would welcome young New York poets to come read at Beyond Baroque, and when we would go to New York, we would be brought to the St. Mark's Poetry Project. It was pretty thrilling. And in the last throes, a person came from the world of punk rock. Now, for anyone who's listening who I've forgotten, this means you, Jack Skelly. This means several others. I'm not forgetting you intentionally. I'm forgetting you because the subject of our show today is Ed Smith. He came from the world of punk rock. None of us had ever seen anyone like him before. I suspect there wasn't anyone like him, even in the punk scene. He was amazing. And now, David Trinidad, editor extraordinaire, has gotten from the over 100 notebooks that Ed left behind him, I think, kept by his wife.
Yes, and Mio Chere, who's a wonderful conceptual artist, and she ensured that they were placed at the Fales Library at New York University after his death.
Wow. And Ed swept us away. I mean, I was trying all last night as I thought about this to say that he contained opposites, you know, the way Walt Whitman said that he did. Ed was simultaneously arrogant and bewildered.
And wounded and vulnerable.
Wounded and vulnerable. And
brilliant.
Brilliant and incredibly handsome. He had a boyish look rather than a manly look. And although boyishness was part of the beauty of that time, Ed was boyish and
a little bit androgynous, or at least I think he aspired to that sometimes.
Uh-huh. And he'd appear at Beyond Baroque's open readings with poems that were like nothing else anyone was writing. There are some people who call them anti-poems. They're extremely low-key, some of them, and then extremely excitable. Others, Amy Gersler, one of the poets I've just mentioned, is here along with David Trinidad. Amy published both of the two books that Ed wrote while he was still alive and published. And now from Turtle Point Press, may I introduce Ruth Greenstein, is the editor of Turtle Point Press. She, this is a real story, She had never heard of Ed Smith before. David, I suppose as part of a series of projects, had decided to put together Ed's works, ideally for a book, but he did it without knowing if anyone would publish it.
That's right, yes.
What made you decide to do this?
Well, it in large part came out of conversations that I would have with Amy about Ed's work, and both of us feeling very sad that his work was long out of print. So I really wanted to bring him back into print, and so that was the goal of the project. And I introduced some of my students at Columbia College in Chicago to Ed's work, and they fell in love with him. So I saw how vital the work still was, and believed that there would be an audience for his work.
Now you receive a big book.
Yes.
By Ed Smith. This book is called Punk Rock is Cool for the End of the World, and it's now published by Turtle Point Press. But what did it strike you as?
Well, since it came from David Trinidad, one of Turtle Point's house authors, I, of course, took it seriously. I took a look, and the work spoke to me. I saw Amy Gerstler's name, and I thought, oh my God, Amy Gerstler, who lived down the block from my family in San Diego and was my babysitter.
And you were a very good girl.
Well, I think I was a little bit of a bad girl.
Well, that equals good girl in my book.
Okay.
By this point, Ruth was living in New York, no longer in Los Angeles, so that the book comes to her by a very circuitous path. And Amy, her babysitter, is one of the poets, magnificent poet to my mind, who stayed in L.A. and whose works are published by Penguin Press. David moved first to New York and then to Chicago. When did Ed die?
2005.
Oh, my God. He died. Well, he died. And I never expected I'd have the opportunity to talk about this phenomenon. Ed could write poems consisting entirely of the words, "Attention, I'm a poet. Attention, I'm a poet. Attention, I'm a poet," because I think it astonished him, too. You know, he was a punk rocker. He didn't expect anything as august and terrifying to enter his life as poetry, nor did he think that there'd be a place in poetry for anything as unaugust, low-key, and at ease as he could be.
And also wild.
And wild. Could you describe that wildness, Amy?
Oh, I think he had a wild mind, and it was a mix of a science mind and the mind of somebody who had always struggled with suicidal thoughts, and somebody who very much felt himself an outsider and had amazing intelligences and energy, sexual energy, charisma, kind of lyric energy, a boundary pusher, a real admirer of artists and art. I think he thought being a poet was this revered, almost priestly, he was like punk priestly poet.
Yeah. Well, I think, given all this, we need to read a poem right away. David, will you read a poem by Ed Smith?
Yes, I'd be happy to. This poem is called Please. Please repress me. Please do your best to break my spirit. Please judge me. Please grade me. Please reward me, and please punish me. Please teach me right from wrong. Please make me feel unimportant. Please make a mockery of my existence.
David Trinidad, reading a poem by Ed Smith from the new book, Punk Rock is Cool for the End of the World. It's a book of poems and notebooks by Ed Smith. It's published by Ruth Greenstein, who is now the editor at Turtle Point Press. How does one go about getting a copy?
Go to your, support your independent bookstores, please. first choice, always.
And but if you're lazy, Amazon.com?
Of course, yes.
Is it there on Amazon?
It is.
It is. And it's widely available.
You're also distributed by?
Consortium.
Consortium, which is a group.
An Ingram. Part of the Ingram.
Yes, and they distribute all sorts of small press books. There's an ongoing mystery. How do I get these books? Once upon a time in Los Angeles, we all went down to Papa Bach Books, which had the largest poetry section I've ever seen in a bookstore anywhere.
That was a wonderful bookstore.
A wonderful bookstore. Most bookstores can't afford to be big enough to have really good small press and poetry sections. Papa Bach did. And I was working there, so I got to see it all. If you're a person of principle, as some of us have been, you want to go to the independent bookstore regardless. But there's also a different group called Small Press Distribution, and they carry small press poetry books as well. There's no world in which you can't get these books.
And I'll just do a shout out to Skylight Books. Skylight Books on the east side of LA does their best to really carry literary titles and poetry and get things for you if you ask for them. And it has a tree growing up the middle of the bookstore, which is pretty rad.
And a cat.
And a cat.
Like the old-fashioned bookstore cat.
Old school.
Papa Bach
the
had
best
one,
of old
too.
School.
Yes. And I, of course, I love Skylight, too. I mean, you know, there have been a history of wonderful bookstores that close. Dutton's bookstore in Brentwood was a wonderful bookstore that closed. But we've never been without a very good bookstore, and Skylight is the one right now. Book Soup is very good, too.
Romans
in Pasadena. You know, part of what we're trying to protect is not just poetry. It's bookstores. We are, each of us, as a writer and me as a reader, responsible for the protection of the things we love. We're enjoined with a job. If it fades out, it's not going to be on our watch. We're going to keep it alive as best we can. I think David and Amy both keep it alive. David, by editing these books and talking to his students about books of poetry that they might not know. Amy teaches too. Where do you teach now, Amy?
UC Irvine.
It's a wonderful place. Amy, would you read a poem by Ed Smith?
Yes, I will be happy to. This is called To My One and Only True Love. Here's to the babies we won't have. Here's to the promises we won't make. Here's to the lives we won't share. Here's to the disaster under the bridge and the one at the top of the fence. Here's to your laughing eyes behind the wheel. Here's to you.
You know, it says in the acknowledgments of this book, David Trinidad says that this book is in many ways a gift to Amy Gerstler. As you read, as I'm sure you will, the notebooks that Ed kept, because they prove beyond a doubt. Many people thought that Ed would step to the podium and just make up the poems. But when you see these notebooks, you see that he wrote them over and over and over again until he got them right. But what I didn't know is that there are notebooks that essentially say that David Trinidad, Amy Gerstler, Bob Flanagan, and Jack Skelly?
And Ed himself.
And Ed himself are all the poetry scene he needs. Right. It's clear beyond the fragment of a doubt that Ed loved Amy, and not just because she edited and published his two books, but because Amy was, of all of us, the one who could take Ed, rambunctious Ed, uncontrollable Ed, and tell him what she thought poetry was, and give him a better idea, because he came in with next to no idea of that. And I think part of his gifts to you were his poems.
Wow. Well, I think that's true. I also think that Ed had it in him already, and all that needed to happen was he needed to be have his friends try to keep him alive enough, long enough to write, and to have his lifestyle, which was pretty crazy, not make it also so that he couldn't write, and to maybe give him things to read. He was a huge reader, but he had read a lot of science fiction and a lot of science. So really, I mean, it was all seething and bubbling and bursting in him. I think he just, you know, wanted to find his tribe.
I'm Michael Silverblatt, and you're listening to Bookworm from the studios of KCRW. I'm talking with Amy Gerstler, Ruth Greenstein, and David Trinidad about Punk Rock is Cool for the End of the World, Poems and Notebooks of Ed Smith. We'll continue after this short break.
I want to tell you about a new show from the Financial Times called Life and Art from FT Weekend, hosted by me, Lila Raptopoulos. Life and Art is twice a week. On Mondays, I have a guest on to talk about life and how to live a good one. Everything from winter travel to cooking to living more creatively. And on Fridays, we talk art. Two FT journalists and I discuss a piece of culture that's in the air. New music, movies, and more. Find Life and Art from FT Weekend wherever you listen.
I'm Michael Silverblatt. This is Bookworm. And I'm talking with Amy Gerstler, Ruth Greenstein, and David Trinidad about Punk Rock is Cool for the End of the World, Poems and Notebooks of Ed Smith, a comprehensive selection of poems and writing by a troubled man who was a pure poet. And David Trinidad did his extraordinary work in editing this collection, which would have otherwise disappeared into, what do you call them, the mists of time?
Oblivion.
Oblivion, the sands of time.
And it's clear from the notebooks that he really looked up to Amy and then also to Dennis Cooper as models.
Oh, Dennis, absolutely. But Dennis is a whole special category all his own. I mean, Dennis came in to that world of Los Angeles writing and kind of revolutionized it. And he took me out of my hidden academic world, my hermithood, into the world of people living and working right now. God, he was wonderful.
And he met Ed, he heard Ed read, he saw that Ed was talented, and he made sure to sort of bring him into the fold and introduce him to everyone else. And
encourage him and publish him and build up his confidence. Right. And
at the time, whatever gay poetry could, might, would be had not yet been defined.
That's right.
And Dennis was very interested in the definition. And when it came to Ed Smith, no one really knew that Ed Smith was essentially straight. But
I think he was essentially bi.
Bi.
those poems about him wearing skirts and he definitely liked men too.
It was so interesting to go on that trip to New York. We all went together.
And this was in like 1982, the early 80s, right?
And I'm telling you, when the gay poets of New York, Brad Gooch and Tim Dugos and Donald Britton,
Stephen Hall,
when they saw Ed, if you ever heard that expression, their jaws dropped, their jaws dropped.
And we have some of those pictures of Ed, you know, those jaw-dropping pictures in the book.
Now, how long did it take you, David, to put together this book?
About three and a half years, I think.
Okay.
And not full-time, of course. You know, I was teaching and writing my own poems, but yeah, it was steadily worked on it on the side. You know.
And that is part of what everyone should know about artists, that we give our time, our love, and our lives to the work of others and to preserving it because we loved it.
And I got a lot out of it. I mean, being so close to Ed's work and reading it all the time, I was able to use some of that energy in my own work. So I feel like my work benefited from the editorial project.
Well, let's hear. Ed could do a lot of things with just a small number of elements, and Ruth is going to read two such pieces.
Yeah, thank you. That's my favorite thing about his poetry. I think it is like Zen koan, somebody mentioned. Has an arbitrariness, a simplicity. You know, he's teasing and testing, what can the language do? So he has a poem called Fishing. This is a good line. This is a bad line. This is a fishing line. And another in a similar vein, Clothes. This is a good line. This is a bad line. This is a clothes line.
And it could have been, this is a clothing line, too. It's, you know.
Those poems would get big laughs when he read them at readings.
Now, I don't want to suggest that Ed was only punk indifferent, because listen to this. This is a poem called Just Think. David Trinidad had pointed it out to me, and it's absolutely beautiful and touching. Just think, it's only a matter of time. Soon you'll be boarding the plane, away from my phone messages. You won't have to ignore me then. The distance will take care of that. You know, we have a lot of poems in which people are accusing someone else of breaking their heart. But Ed's understanding of that particular way, you've broken my heart because you've taken yourself out of my sphere of influence. The distance will take care of that. It's so simple.
He can be very poignant and disarming.
Yeah. And tell me, Ruth, when you decided to take this book on for Turtle Point, Turtle Point had a previous editor, Jonathan...
The founding publisher, Jonathan Rubinowitz, yes.
Right. And previous poets. You stepped in to head the press, and Ed is one of your first discoveries. And it's very exciting to have this book, because I think that none of us on this side of the country in Los Angeles expected there to be a book of Ed Smith's work. We didn't know he wrote this much. We didn't know about the notebooks and diaries. It's a really special thing, and I think we all want to thank you for it.
Yay.
Yes, yes.
What is developing at Turtle Point Press?
We're continuing what we've been doing since 1990, which is it's a very literary press. We're known for publishing works of James Schuyler, Julian Grock, Lord Berners.
James McCourt?
Certainly. rediscovered classics, works in translation. And then since I've taken the press 3 years ago, we're moving in some new directions, more West Coast writers. So, of course, Ed Smith fit the bill. And more broad global focus. I published a novel from Venezuela. I'm bringing back authors I know. There's a poetry collection from Diane Glancy coming.
Oh, nice.
Thank you. And we have very excited about launching a series of divination decks that David is the series editor of. We have Rumi and Emily Dickinson coming in the fall.
Who's Rumi?
What do you mean?
No, whose translation?
It's Brad Gooch, actually.
Oh, Brad Gooch is, because he wrote a book.
Right,
about
right. So he's a wonderful Rumi authority.
And these are decks, like divination decks, like 78 cards with quotes on them, the sort of tarot decks, you know, that can be used for advice.
And
or inspiration.
A gorgeous package.
Yes.
Yes, it's going to be a beautiful thing for the holidays.
Thank you all for joining me to make this book known to what may be the biggest poetry audience in America. I thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you so much, Michael.
I've been talking with Ruth Greenstein, the editor of Turtle Point Press, Amy Gerstler, poet and publisher of the original volumes of Ed Smith, friend to Ed Smith, and David Trinidad, poet and editor, about Punk Rock is Cool for the End of the World, Poems and Notebooks of Ed Smith. It's published, as I said, by Turtle Point Press. Thank you all for joining me. You can visit kcrw.com/bookworm for a podcast of today's show, also available at Apple, Spotify, and all podcast services. Did listeners know that this show and KCRW's programming is aired in Berlin every day? You can even listen on demand with KCRW's smartphone apps. Special thanks to my co-producer and assistant, Sean Sullivan. Alan Howard is associate producer and editor. The technical director is Mario Diaz. I'm Michael Silverblatt. Join me again next time on Bookworm.
I am a bookworm, he is a bookworm, she is a bookworm, we are all bookworms.
Funds for Bookworm are provided in part by Lannan Foundation. This program is produced in the studios of KCRW Santa Monica. You can access archives of all Bookworm programs and podcasts, the most recent ones, at kcrw.com/bookworm. The Bookworm themes were composed and performed by Ron and Russell Mail of Sparks.
Join me again next time on Bookworm when Ocean Vuong is our guest.
I want to tell you about a new show from the Financial Times called Life and Art from FT Weekend, hosted by me, Lila Raptopoulos. Life and Art is twice a week. On Mondays, I have a guest on to talk about life and how to live a good one. Everything from winter travel to cooking to living more creatively. And on Fridays, we talk art. Two FT journalists and I discuss a piece of culture that's in the air, new music, movies, and more. Find Life and Art from FT Weekend wherever you listen.